Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello and welcome to In the Field, a new podcast by IB Times UK. Each week we talk to journalists and stringers, activists and authors about the global stories that matter. I'm here with Callum Patton, our senior foreign reporter, and with Colin Randalls joining us today from France. Colin spent quite a long time at The Telegraph and now writes for us and for others about French politics and other matters over the water. So, Colin, how is it all going over there in France? I mean, what are people talking about it a lot, and kind of what's the feeling on the street about the election?
The presidential election is in an absolute state of chaos. We have the mainstream parties seemingly lagging behind Marine Le Pen from the Front National and even Emmanuel Macron, who was hardly known a year ago. And we have the revelations about the payments that the mainstream Conservative candidate, François Fillon, made to his wife and children, which were ostensibly for little or no work in response. So every day brings a new revelation, allegation, defence of position. It's almost impossible to keep track of everything that's going on there.
We should probably get this out of the way early, because I understand, and people have said to me, that even however bad it gets with the other candidates, that Marine Le Pen would struggle to win the second round. She might win the first, probably will win the first, but in the second, she possibly won't. So how does that work? Why is that?
She's definitely ahead in the polls, although it has to be said that the polls had a wretched year and can't be taken without a severe health warning. However, I suspect she will win the first round, or certainly get into the second round. Conventional wisdom is that whoever stands against her in the second round will win, because the French will either come to their senses and reject what many see as an extreme right, racist, anti-Islam candidate. And because there's a sort of comfort in the status quo, so that although Macron, if it were Macron, is new, he represents conventional politics in a way that Marine Le Pen does not. If it were someone from the Conservatives, Fillon, or if Fillon falls on his sword, Alain Juppé or someone else, again, the vote would tend to drift towards that person. Perhaps just to stop Marine Le Pen, or insufficient numbers to stop her.
Because this happened before, didn't it, with her father, am I right?
Absolutely. Jean-Marie Le Pen stood against Jacques Chirac in 2002. And the socialists were in disarray then as now. And the runoff between Le Pen's father and Chirac went according to the scenario I've just described, whereas even people who didn't particularly like Chirac turned out in large numbers to vote for him. The anecdote at the time was wearing nose pegs, and Le Pen was trounced it was 82 to 18%. That won't happen this time. It'll be a lot closer. But again, conventional wisdom and the polls suggest that whoever stands against Le Pen in the second round would still comfortably win.
I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Callum and I have covered the American election. We covered Brexit. Every time, everybody's kind of expected, you know, these things not to happen, and then they did.
I know someone very close to the far-left candidate, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who campaigns for him, knows what electioneering's about. She has been telling me for 2 to 3 years Marine Le Pen is the next president of France. And she holds that view. I spoke to her recently. She still believes that Marine Le Pen will win. So it would be foolish to rule out altogether the possibility of another turn-up, another setback for the pollsters, another slap in the face of the establishment.
What's really surprised me about reporting on it in the last few weeks is how close the parallels in the race have been to what happened in Brexit, with Brexit in the referendum here, and then with the election of Donald Trump in the United States. The comparison is almost facile, but it's also so true. You have this kind of populist right-wing candidate who's whipping people up, and then also the kind of the accusations of sleaze against the establishment candidates. So the number of scandals that have come up just recently against Fillon and against Macron, and how damaging. You're kind of wondering how many body blows these guys can take, even if Fillon continues to run and isn't replaced by Juppé, whether it's kind of already finished for him.
Well, first of all, you have to say that Marine Le Pen welcomed both Brexit and the election of Trump and hopes to profit from the same anti-establishment sentiment that led to those upsets for the pollsters, the predictions. It also has to be said that Marine Le Pen is in the mire over finances as well. There is talk of possible proceedings on the financing of the previous elections. There is, almost mirroring the experience of Fillon, allegations of there are allegations of the use of fictitious employees in Brussels, where she's and Strasbourg, where she's an MEP, and she's a long way short of being able to claim to be whiter than white, although the whiter than white analogy would perhaps suit her.
But again, the Trump analogies abide, because this was a man who was able to say virtually whatever he wanted and not get hit by anything, whereas for an established candidate who has to present themselves as whiter than white, and this is, of course, what Fillon did. This was his platform, was that he was Mr. Squeaky Clean and he was going to be fiscally responsible. And the kind of the irony that this man then turned around to have, it would appear, allegedly to have paid people in his family for things that they never did. You can see that damaging him a lot more than anything similar that would be levelled at Le Pen.
It certainly does damage him, and Le Pen is able to ride on the thesis that we're always under attack, we're the underdogs, the establishment's out to get us, it's all a plot. But why should it be any more a plot in her case than in Fillon's case? Fillon was undone by good investigative journalism. Le Pen has been undone by the European Union, the European Parliament's inconvenient desire to enforce rules. And I think it is difficult for her to present herself as squeaky clean in those circumstances. And it could turn out that what will determine the outcome of the election is the least bad option. My own brother-in-law, Frenchman in Fillon's city of Le Mans, told me today that he's been shaken by the revelations of Fillon. He's a traditional Gaullist, i.e. Fillon voter, and would normally not be seen entering any other vote than for the what used to be various Gaullist parties, now called Les Républicains. And he will still vote Fillon, he tells me, if Fillon is still able to stand, for the mere, the best of a bad bunch.
It's interesting that you have this perspective, having been in France, because one of the criticisms of us as journalists when we were before Brexit was that we kind of all sat here in London and we listened to our Liberal friends talking about, you know, how we were all going to vote Remain. And then when the rest of the country voted Leave, we were really shocked by that. Now, I wonder, is there a similar thing in France with the media? I mean, is it... And being that you don't live in Paris, you live out on the countryside. I mean, do you find that people... There is that disconnect in France as well.
There was. I think there's much less now. I think that there was a presumption that the two-party system would prevail and Le Pen would always be knocking at the door but never quite make it. But the momentum's been gathering in support of Le Pen over the last few years. I've been to rallies of hers and seen the intensity of support for her in the provinces. I live in an area where Front National colleagues of hers do well traditionally in elections without making more than occasional inroads in terms of becoming mayors or taking council seats. You have to look at the support for Le Pen as a two-edged sword. You have the northern part of France where people have lost jobs, are impoverished, have suffered from the austerity programs forced upon the French. And they instinctively would have voted socialist in the past, but have been let down in their eyes by the Socialist Party. And then in the south, you have more retired people, better off people, who are frankly fed up with the rising immigration and what they perceive to be the problems that has caused. Mm. And it would be wrong also to assume that Le Pen has succeeded solely because of the way she's tried to de-demonise her party, make it feel like a party like any other, rather than the party that her father founded and ran for so long, which was unashamedly racist, anti-Semitic in terms of his pronouncements, which he's been punished in courts. People who support Le Pen continue to support his daughter, even though the daughter and the father fell out and she had him removed from the party.
It's a fascinating family story, really, in a lot of ways. What about terrorism? Because, of course, you covered the aftermath of Nice for us and others. So, I mean, how much of those awful attacks of the last few years had an effect on Le Pen's support?
It's a cliché that each attack by Islamists in France plays into the hands of Marine Le Pen and her party. But there is an element of truth in it, obviously, because she is seen to be harder on Islamist extremism than the other parties. The other parties have felt obliged, and particularly Les Républicains, the Conservatives, to adopt some of her rhetoric to reassure their own concerned voters. Security is a huge, huge issue. Immigration is linked to that in people's eyes, rightly or wrongly, and it is difficult to avoid the conclusion that Le Pen profits from what Islamic State gets up to.
Mm. I mean, Le Pen says, and it's even more unusual for France than at least...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Appeared to be at the beginning of the referendum campaign for Brexit, but she wants to remove France from the European Union. Does that again play into a security concern, or is it just a broadly more nationalistic sentiment that she's tapping into? It seems like France is kind of one of the central main players in the EU. That would be a fringe opinion even amongst her own supporters.
I would say it's still a minority view. France did come very close to a breach with Europe in a referendum a few years ago, but I would say that the majority still hold to the ideals of the EU, although they share the concerns which to a large extent drove the Brexit vote about open borders, about, again, immigration, the EU's abject failure to cope with the influx of immigrants. And she does profit from that. She's seen as harder on issues of immigration. She's seen as someone who will actually act as well as simply pontificate on the issue. Against that, there is the feeling, well, what responsibility, what experience of office do these people have? And it's pretty minuscule. They've got a few MEPs, a couple of deputies in the French Parliament, and some mayors and councillors. It doesn't add up to a huge fund of experience and wisdom in office. And the question must be, to what extent the French will overlook that, and as you hear often on the streets, give the extreme right a chance.
That's interesting, of course, because the French system isn't like ours. Le Pen wouldn't form a government, would she?
No. We immediately after the presidential elections, we have parliamentary elections, and you would expect Le Pen, if she has done well in the presidential elections, to do well again in the legislatives. But she won't do well enough to form a government. She won't do well enough to win more than a higher number of seats than she has now. Could give her the balance of power if the voting went in a particular way. But the socialists are in such disarray that it's difficult to see past a comfortable win for Les Républicains, Fillon's party, although it wouldn't be tainted with Fillon because it would be the entire party standing for election. And probably a hefty minority representation for the Front National.
So Le Pen couldn't take France out of Europe?
She has pledged to hold a referendum, and I'm not entirely sure that she couldn't, in the end, prevail on that. But it would be interesting. It would depend on the composition of Parliament. It would depend on lots of other things.
Yeah, it would provoke a bit of a constitutional situation, wouldn't it?
Although France is quite accustomed to having what it calls a cohabitation,
right.
Cohabitation, whereby the president is from one party and Parliament has a majority from another party. It happened under Chirac, it happened under Mitterrand, and that wouldn't be in itself unusual.
I do want to talk about Macron, so I will make this a quick one, but the other really interesting aspect of all of this is where François Hollande fits into it, because he's just, I think it's amazing that the guy's the sitting president and yet nobody's talking about him. He's been a complete failure, I guess.
Unfortunately, he has the lowest approval ratings of any president in living memory. He has appeared weak. He has appeared indecisive. He was saddled with all the promises he made before his election. It's become a cliché in France, moi, le président de la République, I will do these things. And he listed 16 things he was going to do, many of which have not been done. And he will vanish without trace, I fear. He gives the impression of being a decent party bureaucrat who was best suited to a regional role and was promoted beyond his level of competence.
Well, let's talk about Macron. Really interesting bloke. I have to admit, when I saw he was a potential leader, I was very kind of buoyed by the fact centre-left, a young, real antidote to someone like Le Pen. So, yeah, what does everyone else think of him?
I've just been on holiday in Myanmar and watched a French tourist of about 23, 24-year-old walking through the airport, holding aloft and reading every word of a Macron book. He has gripped a certain type of French person very, very strongly in the campaign. He's come from sort of nowhere. He's never been elected to anything. He was a co-opted minister in Hollande's government, had been Hollande's advisor on economic affairs, was ostensibly a socialist, then decided he wasn't a socialist, and is now campaigning as a centrist, as you say, neither left, neither right. The reason he has appealed to people, it goes back to this resistance of the establishment, that people see him as a breath of fresh air. They've had centrist candidates in French elections who traditionally flatter to deceive and get nowhere in the end. Macron just seemed to make an immediate impact. Meetings packed out, media talking about him day after day. My far-left acquaintance says he's the darling of the media. It's as if he's the saviour for France. And yet he hasn't a programme that anyone has discerned. It's meant to be revealed in detail at the beginning of next month, but no one knows quite what he stands for, except that it's not quite what the others stand for. And it's all expressed in very vague terms of, I'll be dealing with taxation and monetary policy and the environment and labour law and so on. But we await with bated breath the flesh on the bones.
I think the media darling point that you bring up is really interesting with him, because he's now the guy to beat in the election, and it was kind of inevitably as Fillon's star fell, his rose, because they're the establishment choice. But you can see now the FN now saying, but he is the media darling. He's part of the media elite that have got us into this mess in the first place, and attacking him with this kind of playbook that I've mentioned before. And you have we haven't mentioned this scandal, but the origins of it are kind of murky. That he had a homosexual affair with a radio owner, and since then his party chairman has come out and said, well, we've been the victims of Russian fake news in the way the Russians were able to kind of sway the U.S. presidential elections. I would be interested to know where you think that kind of the germ of that fake news came from, the scandal, but then also how he appeals to his base and to the kind of voters that you've described without further alienating himself from, I don't know, blue collar workers in northern France of the type that you've described.
Well, traditionally the French don't give a hoot about the private lives of their political leaders. They can get away with a great deal of adultery, sexual shenanigans, without the French really taking it too seriously. It's in some ways quite a healthy tradition of making the distinction between what a person's capable of doing in political life, public life, and what he or she gets up to in private life. I suppose, in the end, if someone has been the victim of fake news or can plausibly claim to have been the victim, that will play in his or her favour. So I just personally wouldn't attach too much importance to it. Macron's appeal, is to predominantly younger, employed, perhaps professional people who are fed up to the back teeth, as everyone else, with the failures of successive governments in France, and want a change, but see in Macron something to believe in, even though the detail of the Macron project is so flimsy at this stage. I don't think he's been damaged by fake news. He may even benefit from it if it can be argued that he's a victim.
And for argument's sake, we'll just cover this now, but if this does resolve itself this week, but in terms of the allegations against Fillon, can he weather them, do you think?
Fillon is trapped by his own previous image of being the squeaky clean, irreproachable, slightly dull, safe pair of hands. He himself said a month ago or so, in relation to Sarkozy's, the former president Sarkozy's legal difficulties, who could ever have imagined General de Gaulle in this situation of being criminally under investigation? Now we find that Fillon potentially is under criminal investigation, and the facts are largely undisputed. The payments were made. Mm. The question is whether they were made dishonestly enough to warrant criminal charges. It is difficult to see how a man can. You look at his agenda, and it's pretty thin. We're within a couple of months of the presidential election first round, and Fillon is already looking a slightly distanced figure. Can he get back from it? Yes, if there were an announcement that he will face no charges, there's no evidence to justify prosecution, he will then continue, build upon the support he has now, which has diminished but has remained perhaps more solid than might have been supposed, and hope to pick up votes from Macron and from other candidates and resume his appearance of the safe pair of hands. That's how my right-leaning relatives or relatives by marriage in Le Mans see it, and I suspect that's how it will be seen in the country. But if it goes against him, we are then left to wonder what is the plan B for the mainstream Conservatives. Alain Juppé said at the outset of the affair that he would not retake his place. He then modified his position that if there were to be charges, he might consider it. And everything's up in the air. Mm. And that's why I said at the outset that the election is a complete mess.
Well, thank you both very much for coming on the podcast. You can check out Colin's articles if you're listening on Acast. They will be linked. You can also check out his articles on ibtimes.co.uk. And Callum will be covering the elections or the run-up to the elections for us. So check out the website for that too. Thank you both very much, and see you next week. Take care.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.